thank God to be here. First and foremost, I want to give praise, honor, and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, who raised me from the dead, commissioned me 50 years ago to make Jesus real and prepare everyone to go to a beautiful place that I've been, a place called heaven. We're celebrating 2016, 50 years in the full-time ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we've been honored to be asked by my spiritual mama, Billy Brim, next Sunday to be in Branson, and we'll be there. Branson, by the way, is having a real outpouring of the Spirit. I don't know if you're aware of that. They're having a continual revival that they've had for months and months. Mario Murillo and others are coming up there, and the power of God is moving. My dear friend Barbara Fairchild is part of that great outpouring. And, of course, Mama Billy, who's been there for years and literally prayed this spirit of revival in. And I'm going to be there. Dina and Angel will be accompanying me. And I'll be actually preaching to 68 nations via the internet, which will be the fulfillment of what Jesus told me I would do when I died in this automobile accident at 18 years of age. How in the world could I ever imagine touching the whole world at 18 years of age? You know, there were no internet. There were no phones. Recently, Pastor Lena, I was preaching in church, and I was very impressed, first of all, that the first two rows were all young people. And then while I was preaching, I noticed they just kept looking at their phone, and they were playing with their phone. And I've got to be honest, I thought, you know, couldn't they be a little more respectful? So I might have made a comment about it afterwards to the pastor. And he informed me, Brother Gary, they've got the Bible on the phone. And he said, they're following you on the phone. So we didn't have those things back then. None of those things were in existence. And I thought to myself, how will I ever communicate this message to the whole world? And now my book is in 5 languages. And Dina and Angel and I have just been in 24 states. And we have seen God move miraculously, and that's what I want to talk about today. And I give the Lord all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. But I want to also thank you for being faithful, these wonderful pastors. You know, this isn't the typical church. I'm sure you're aware of that. And that you would come out on a Sunday afternoon at 3:30, and this crowd, it's remarkable. And I commend you for your faithfulness. I commend your pastors for being faithful to preach the gospel. They have impacted. Many of you are a product of their investment into your life. Each and every one of you here and those that are coming, as we've just heard, have a story of how this couple has impacted you. And I remember them coming and their faithfulness. Now, all you young preachers, I want to tell you how to grow a church. If you go out to be a pastor, and our good friend Jeremy Hamby and his lovely wife have just moved down in the Panhandle, Texas, and they're pastoring, I'm going to tell you how to build a church and be successful. You get a Pizzatola family to come to your church. One time, Lena called me, and she wanted some counseling and on an issue. She wanted my advice and wanted to meet with me as pastor. And so I prepared my office, added a few extra chairs. 85 people, if I remember right, came. We had to go out into the auditorium. So that's how you build a church. You just you get a Pizzatola or Rodriguez or a Garcia, and they will bring all their relatives. And so I'm so thankful and so honored. Thankful my wife is here. Thankful my daughter's here. But I want to get right into the Word of God. Thankful for your faithfulness again, for your pastor's faithfulness. But I want to get right into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, lift them up. wave them. Let's make the devil real mad. Now turn with me, if you will, to the book of Joshua. I have a message that I believe the Lord laid upon my heart to minister to you this afternoon, beginning in Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 11. But let me just say, through the ministry of Billy Brim and ourselves, we want to give you a gift. We want every head of every household to have this little booklet that's been written by my spiritual mama called The Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. I promise you, if you will read this little booklet and do what it says and do every day what it says, it's very, very simple instructions to follow on who you are in Christ Jesus and all your rights and privileges. And if you will pray, she'll show you very clearly. Every morning, Mama in Branson, in her home there, will take a chair. She sits in the chair, and then she uses scripture, and she'll give you the scripture, and she'll give you an outline, and then you can pray for your individual needs. I promise you, I assure you, on the authority of God's word, if you'll do this, Pastor, for the next 30 days, you'll see a dramatic change in your personal life and also in the life of the church. So at least one copy per family. If we run out, I think we've got plenty, but if we happen to run out, well, she's my mama and I can get some more. Okay, glory to God. Joshua chapter 1. Beginning with verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying. Now notice he didn't ask for their opinion. He didn't take a vote to see what the majority would decide would be the best action to take. He commanded them. Now this is a hard message for the American church to receive, because we're a democratic society and we have just operated our privilege of electing the president to come. But God's kingdom is not Republican. It's not Democrat. He'd probably lean a little bit more towards being independent. But God's not sitting up in heaven saying, let's make a deal. God's sitting up in heaven saying, this is the deal. And he's saying, this is the way it's going to be. So he's giving a command. And there's anticipation. There's something that's fixing to take place. He proceeds instructing in verse 11, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now I want to minister to you on the subject this afternoon for a few moments. It's crossover time. It's crossover time. I want you to prepare to experience something supernaturally that you have never experienced or had happened to you prior to this time. The church currently is in a critical junction in history. The devil is loosing all his arsenal against us in an attempt to get us off focus. He wants to bombard you. Am I talking to anybody? He wants to hit you in your health, in your finances, in your soulish area, in your realm of emotions. And he wants to just keep on hitting you until you lose confidence in the promises of God. And this attack is going to increase because the devil is aware that his time is short. But we as the church of Jesus Christ are never commissioned to to have a hold the fort mentality. People say to me all the time, Brother Gary, should Christians go to war? To which I respond, my God, I thought we were in one. It's onward Christian soldiers marching as to war with the cross of Jesus going on before. The devil's deathly afraid, and he's absolutely no match for the church triumphant that's walking in love and the anointing of God. The Apostle Smith Wigglesworth demonstrated that. He tells the story in his book, Ever Increasing Faith. Smith Wigglesworth used to always make this saying, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. I love that, don't you? I just love to say that. Say it with me. I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. How could he make that statement? Because he knew, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He knew Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? When I was a pastor at Full Gospel Fellowship years ago, I did a Greek expose of Romans 8:31. Here's what Romans 8:31 says literally in the Greek. Since God is so overwhelmingly, evidently for us, nothing or no one can successfully come against us. Woohoo! Excuse me while I get excited. Can I say it again? I just love to hear myself say it. Since God is so overwhelmingly, evidently for you, nothing or no one can successfully come against you. Because you're 1,000 times bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And so to demonstrate it, Wigglesworth was asked to go to a home in his beloved country, England. And he went into the house and walked up the stairs and looked into a room, and there was a young, frail woman lying on the bed. And the demons in her began to respond to Wigglesworth's entrance into the room and said, you can't cast us out. And Wigglesworth replied, Jesus can. And then he just proceeded to cast 37 demons out of that woman. And she was loosed and set free by the power of God, because whom the Son sets free is really free. Clothed in her right mind, puts on her clothes, goes down and enjoys dinner with her family for the first time. When later they asked Wigglesworth, what's the secret? He replied, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Now the devil is hitting us. He's bombarding us. And that's why I don't get all excited about the 6 o'clock evening news. If I turn on the news and Scott Paley, they ask him, how's the economic condition of the world? And Scott replies, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then I'll say, go Scott, baby. But until such time that I hear something of that nature, I'm going to choose what the Word of God says. Where David said, I've been young and I've been old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Never are you going to dial up heaven to have heaven respond, sorry, Bill Johnson, Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, Joyce Meyer have already made their monthly request. Kenneth Copeland's depleted all the airplanes. And we're having really economic crisis in heaven currently. And there's big old potholes in the streets of glory. And we had to hock the pearly gates to pay the notes on the mansions. It's really rough up here. No, 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 no. That's never going to happen. Because our God is not El Cheapo. He is El Shaddai. He's God who's more than enough. And so when the devil bombards you, and listen, I know how it is. I've been hit with every accusation. I've been hit with every fiery dart that you could possibly imagine until you think, my God, I can't handle another fiery dart in my shield of faith, when all of a sudden, whoom, through the air, not a fiery dart, but a missile. Hello? But if your attitude is, bless God, devil, if it's a fight you want, then it's a fight you're going to get. But when the dust settles, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You will win. You just keep on keeping on. You keep your eyes steadfast towards the prize and laying hold and claiming the promises. And for you, it's the same as Joshua. It's to go in and possess the land. I looked up the word possess, and it means to occupy the land by displacing the former occupants. Oh, come on. To occupy the land by displacing the former occupants. Sickness has no right in your body. Poverty has no place in your household. I was at Prayer Mountain 2014. Kenneth Copeland had just finished preaching 2 hours. I can see you're not used to Kenneth Copeland. Brother Copeland preaches a minimum of about 2 hours, but he had just finished. And as soon as it was over, I'd been asked to step outside temporarily and pray for a lady. And I stepped back inside, and Brother Copeland was finished. And Dina turned to me and said, there's a young man here, and he wants to meet you. And I said, all right. And I turned around and saw a very attractive young man. That's kind of difficult to say man to man. But you understand. But there was something about him. He was attractive. And dark hair, beautiful blue eyes. And I said, hello, I'm Gary Wood. He never told me his name. And he said, I've been sent from a far, far away country. And he said, I have a message from my father. And he said, my father is very, very, very wealthy. And I'm just staring at him, trying to figure out if he's a charismatic lunatic or something, you know. Because not everybody says, yay, yay, hey, hey. God told me to say something, is speaking from the Father. So I'm trying to figure this guy out, but I'm just kind of drawn to him. And he said, my father told me to tell you that you'll never need to be concerned about finances ever again for the rest of your life. And I said, well, that's a very good message. Thank you. I said, tell your father thank you, and I'll receive it. I said, did you come alone? He said, no, I have a traveling companion. And then the tent was, it's a football field length there, and there was over 2,000 people on the mountain. And there was a very attractive black lady, a football field away. And she looks, and she's standing higher than everybody else, and she just smiles at me, just goes, like she's listening to our conversation. And so we leave. Dina goes, I want to go over to the bookstore and get some things. You go get the car. So I walked a whole football field and discovered that Dina kept the keys to the car. And as I was coming back, there's some dear pastor friends of ours that are in Marble Falls. And I looked over and saw them. And I saw this young man. And I said, son, would you come over here and tell these pastor friends of mine what you just told me? I said, I'd like for you just to share that word with them. And he smiled at me. He didn't say anything else to me. And he came over, and we're standing. There were just six of us standing, just like this. We're standing in a circle, just like this. And all of a sudden, Dina walks out, and she goes, oh, sweetheart, I'm so sorry. I forgot the keys. But one of our partners, who's also a partner with Billy Brim Ministry, wants to say goodbye to you. I said, well, of course. And we're standing in a circle, and I said, oh, Susan, thank you for your monthly support. I said, I really love you. I look forward to seeing you, God willing, next year at Autumn Assembly. Turned, and that young man just vanished. He was just gone. And all of a sudden, we all start looking. We never found him. I called him a prosperity angel. Now, you can believe whatever you want to. I believe I receive. And all of a sudden, finances started unexpectedly coming into our ministry. That's the message I want you to get today. I want you to prepare to experience things supernaturally, unexpectedly, that you've never experienced before. I've come to decree and declare to you, the barrenness is over. Songs of deliverance are about to be sung. There's a spiritual change in the climate and the atmosphere in America. Hello? We prayed it in on Prayer Mountain. I know when our president-elect became our president. I knew because we got into unity in the spirit in one accord. Whatever has held you back, whatever's discouraged you, whatever has brought weariness to you, it's all fixing to change. We're fixing to cross over into a time frame such as we have never experienced prior to this time. We're going to have a major revival of healing, of financial restitution, of deliverance, a supernatural move of God in America and around the world that's going to make Azusa Street look like a Sunday school picnic, and then Jesus has taken us home to live with him throughout all eternity. Glory to God. I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. I want you to start getting ready for a release of finances. Dean and I apostle a church up in Pennsylvania. It's the poorest. It was the poorest county in the state of Pennsylvania. The city is named Montrose, Pennsylvania. Poorest county, Pennsylvania. 2 years ago, the Holy Ghost told me, they only have 30 people. They had 30 people when we started apostling. I think they have 50 people now. They're having a revival. I mean, they're way, 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 way up in the mountain. You see deer, you see wild turkeys, you see everything. You go up there to minister. Precious, precious people. And one night, the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, have everybody dance around their wallets. Now, you know, it sounds kind of crazy, but sometimes God will ask you to do something that you can't figure out in your little infinite mind. And everybody obeyed, Pastor Alina. Every single person did it. They danced around their purse, their wallet, whatever, seven times. Then we shouted the victory and broke financial bondage over those people's lives, over that county, and over that church. 2 weeks later, the pastor calls me on the phone, and he's shouting, and he goes, Brother Gary. I said, son, what is it? He's a spiritual son like you are to Easy and Lena here, pastors. And I said, what is it, son? And he said, oh, Dad. He said, let me tell you what happened. He said, everybody in the church, including us, they have discovered oil on our property. One man's tithe was $50,000. Hello? I want to stir you up. That's what I am. I don't know what office gift I operate in, but I'm a stir-upper. I just want to get you to let go and realize nothing's impossible with the God that we serve. And you had seed planted here. The good seed of the word of God has been planted in you. Now it's time for you to bloom and bear forth fruit. Amen. Now go over with me because I want to move into this real quickly. Are you still with me? I just got a little time here, and we honor the time that's given to us. Look over in Joshua chapter 3. I'm trying to get you to understand the next step that epicenter is fixing to move into as the end time people. You hear God's voice. You've been taught very clearly to hear God's voice. You're overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil. Giants that are screaming accusations against you, they're going to fall before you because you have the good seed of the Word of God planted deep down inside of you. And if you're not in the place you're supposed to be, awake. Awake. God spoke to me when I was in heaven. He said, I want you to wake up the church. He said, they're asleep. And he said, they've lost their intimacy with me. And so I want you to get into place spiritually. And I want you to begin to expect revival. Right. When people came over to Full Gospel Fellowship of the Southwest, they expected to be healed. Yeah. Hello? They brought their friends and relatives and they expected them to get saved. They expected things to happen. And expectation is the breeding ground for miracles. Yeah. And they weren't disappointed. I don't care what's happened in your past. Forget the past. The blood of Jesus covers it. Realize this is a new season. Every season that you have been going through, God has deposited something in you to prepare you for this current season. And this is the season. It's the season of crossover. It's the season of harvest time. It's the season of miracles. Jesus told me three things when I was in heaven. He said, when these three things happen, he said, when they line up, you see all these things happen. He said, get ready because I'm going to come. He said, I'll come real soon. Number one, he said, be a spirit of prayer. I'm telling you, at Autumn Assembly, Pastor Alina, never, 4,000 people, never have I personally been in an atmosphere where corporately we got joined together. That's why I knew the result of the elections. I knew what they were going to be before they announced it. Kenneth Copeland announced the elections an hour and a half before any other major network announced the election results. Why? Because we got in the spirit and we got inside information. Hello? Now look here in Joshua 3 real quickly. And it came to pass when the people, verse 14, and it came to pass when the people were removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. Now this was the season of April through June. That's when the snow would melt on the mountains of Lebanon, and it would come down to the river, and it caused the river to overflow. Now notice what happened. The Bible says then that the waters, verse 16, which came down from above, stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. Now, Jericho in the Bible, I got to stop here for a moment and explain this to you. Jericho in the Bible always refers to sweet fragrance. It always refers to sweet aroma. It's when you take, it's a second step in receiving the anointing of God. It's where you take on the aroma of God. Have you ever been in an atmosphere where you smell roses? When I was in my mansion in heaven, I saw three buckets of paint. Being my nature, I picked up one, threw it against the wall, and the whole room was suddenly detailed, and a beautiful aroma of roses filled the room and the atmosphere. That's when you take on that sweet, sweet aroma of the Rose of Sharon. Now, they're passing over Jordan. Jordan always indicates in the Bible where you die. In fact, the word Jordan in Strong's Concordance means to go down. It means to descend. It was at Jordan that Jesus Christ was baptized. Remember that? And when he emerged out of the baptismal waters, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And what did the voice say? This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then Jesus stepped forth into his miracle ministry. Now, there needs to be a time, there has to come a time, if you want to experience miracles and be used of God, that you die to yourself. John 12:24, unless a grain of wheat dies, it abides alone. But when it's buried in the ground, and you have to let go of it, you have to, you know, you can hold on to that seed and you can confess till you turn blue and drop over from exhaustion. Grow seed, and that seed's not going to grow till you bury it and let it go. Are you listening to me? And so there has to come that time. People say to me all the time, we want your testimony. Had a lady come to me recently. She goes, oh, Brother Gary, I want your testimony. I said, no, ma'am, you really don't. She said, yes, sir, I do. Please pray for me, as if I'm going to pray for her to die in an accident, you know, so she can have my testimony. She goes, oh, I want to see Jesus. I want to go to heaven. I want a testimony like your testimony. I said, no, ma'am, you really don't. She said, yes, I do. I said, no, ma'am, you really don't. Finally, I grabbed her sweet little face, and I said, sweetheart, I died. To which he replied, oh, like just an everyday occurrence. Catherine Kuhlman, I was watching her again on a videotape. If you've ever seen her, she says as only she could say, I could take you to the place where Catherine died. I can tell you the exact spot where Catherine died. It's then. That's where the kingly, that's a whole other sermon. But that's where the kingly anointing manifests and comes into existence. And the priest that had the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood, verse 17, firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now that is a remarkable, notable miracle. I mean, if the waters had not dried up, then the oxen would have got stuck in the mud. My message to you, Epicenter, is very simple. Get ready for harvest. Get ready for a year of miracles, spiritually, physically, financially. At some point in your life, you're going to need a miracle. Right. I was asked in South Carolina to go into a nursing home, and they asked me to give my testimony, and I needed to give my testimony because most everyone looked like they were about a breath away from departing from this world. So I started telling them about heaven, what I saw, as best I could to describe. And be honest with you, most of them were, you know, they were just, and I'm not making fun, I'm just telling you, some of them looked like they were in a comatose state, you know. Some of them looked like I wanted to go wake them up or check on this one, see if they got pulse, kind of like some churches I preached in. Not here, but moving on. And they wheeled a black man in. And he was sitting over here. I later learned his name was Joe White, W-R-I-G-H-T. And I'm preaching along a little bit. All of a sudden, he starts waving his hand like this. John starts waving his hand like this. And you can't ignore him, you know. So finally, I said, yes, sir. What is it? May I help you? He goes, hey, preacher. Just like that. He goes, hey, preacher. I say, yes, sir. He goes, are there any wheelchairs in heaven? I said, well, no, sir, there aren't. He goes, good. I think I'll just get up out of this one and just start walking and believe 1 Peter 2:24 that says, by his stripes I'm healed. I said, well, sounds good to me. Go for it. I said, I agree with you. Well, he got up and walked, and I got kind of happy and excited and didn't realize what had just happened until the nursing staff ran in and tried to get him back in the wheelchair. And he was kind of resisting them, didn't want to get back in the wheelchair. And then I learned what happened. 3 days before, they'd brought him in with a massive stroke where he lost his speech and his ability to move. He was paralyzed. Notable miracle number one, waving his hand. Notable miracle number two, A notable miracle cannot be denied. Notable miracle number two, when he spoke and said, "Preacher," he couldn't speak. Notable miracle number three, he gets up out of his wheelchair and begins to walk, because our God is a God of might and power. He's a God of miracles. Jerry Lawrence, pastor of Oasis of Life Ministry, Johnstown, Ohio. Dean and I apostled there several years, but it was October the 2nd, 2016, that his life dramatically changed. I said, "Someone's experiencing pain in the back of your head." And later he explained to me, from his birth in 1948 until that Sunday, October the 2nd, 2016, he said, "I never had any relief from migraine headaches more than maybe one or two times, or one or two days a week." Or during that time period. He said it was a result of meningitis when he was born. Doctors hadn't expected him to even be able to live. And at that moment, God touched him. And when he gave the testimony, he said 30 days. I've talked to him. It's been way since then, more than that now. He has not experienced one single headache. Instantly, miraculously healed, because the God that we serve is a God of might and power. He's a God of miracles. Recognize it's God's will to heal you. Exodus 15:26, "I'm the Lord thy God that healeth thee. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgiveth all our iniquities, who healeth all our diseases." Let me tell you how the church over in Stafford exploded. We only had 30 people. Maybe it was about like that when pastors started attending. Here was the miraculous miracle that took place that caused the explosion of that great church at that season. A young precious couple, Ricky and Sophia Garcia, walked into my office, and Sophia begins to explain to me that her baby's dying of leukemia in John Seeley Hospital. And suddenly the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, "They need a greater miracle." The greatest miracle they needed was the miracle of salvation. I remember when she came in, she said, "You know, the priest over in Stafford told us that you are a man of miracles and sent us over here. Would you please pray for our baby?" I said, "I sure will. But first of all, I led him to Jesus." As soon as I led him to Jesus, the Holy Ghost spoke to me, and I responded, and I said, "Go get your son, all is well." And they'd never been around anything like that, so they didn't understand. And I said, "Listen to me, I'm a man of God. I know when God speaks to me. You go, just obey me, do what I said." There were no cell phones back. You know, there was that big old bulky thing that looked like the army, but, you know, no little tiny cell phones. They drove all the way to Galveston. The moment they walked in the hospital, the doctor looked at them as they entered in and said, "We've been trying to reach you. Where are you at? Where have you been?" That alarmed Sophia. Doctor said, "Calm down. All is well. All is well." They said, "We only want permission to do further tests." They ran further tests and found no trace of leukemia in that little baby. Oh, that little baby now is a grown-up young man. He's graduated from college, and he's alive and healthy and still doing remarkably well, because we serve a God of miracles. Suzanne went to the hospital because she thought she had bronchitis. She checked into... I'm going to let them teach deep stuff to you. I'm just pumping you up. Is that all right? I'll let John and all these guys do the deep stuff. I'm just getting you real stirred up. I'm stirring up your... Is that okay? I'm just stirring up your faith. I want you to believe God. Nothing's impossible with God. Suzanne called me on the phone. She checked into the hospital, and she thought she had bronchitis. And the doctor said, "Well, we need to run an EKG," to which the response was, "Suzanne, you're currently having a major heart attack. Your heart is shut down. It's only functioning at an 18% level. And we've got to rush you in, do surgery immediately. She said, "Can I make a phone call?" And so she called me on the phone. Now, sometimes it's good not to tell everybody everything. She didn't. And so I just prayed simple old prayer. And I said, "Now, Suzanne, you've heard my testimony, honey. You've heard me give it Prayer Mountain a lot and on TV. And I said, now just remember there's spare part room. When I was in heaven, I saw this spare part room. All you got to do is believe and receive. I saw people get the miracle. When the angel would bring the miracle to them, they'd just say, I believe, I receive. Whoop! There went the miracle. Saw other people, they started making excuses. This in the day of miracles, God didn't do miracles any longer. You know, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Amen. And so I said, just grab hold and get hold of your miracle. Well, she said the power of God hit her. She slid off the edge of the bed, fell on the floor, and they came in and they saw her, and they wanted to rush her in and do surgery. And she said, no, just do tests. And they did test and found absolutely nothing wrong. They came out, and here's what the doctor said. He said, lady, if I were you, I would hang this x-ray on the wall in a frame, because you got a new heart. Wow. It's God's will to heal you. Have I convinced you of that? Yes. Absolutely. Why? Because God's a good God. And it's God's method of bringing in the lost. Every good gift, every perfect gift cometh from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Number two, act on your faith. Act on your faith. One occasion, faith without works is dead. Faith always has corresponding action. Amen. On one occasion, Jesus said to a group of lepers, go show yourself to the priest. They went and showed themselves to the priest. And my Bible says it like this in Luke. And as they went. Hello? It was just that simple little act of obedience that brought forth the manifestation and the miracle working power of God. The third thing that I want you to realize this afternoon. Have you got anything out of this? I know this is very, very simple, and I could just share story after story after story. But I just wanted to pump up your faith to let you know it's crossover time. I said it's crossover time.
Yes.
It's season of miracles.
Yes.
It's harvest time.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The greatest miracles of new birth. Jesus being born of a virgin, that's a new birth. I've seen every miracle. I've seen limbs manifest in people's bodies. I've seen four people raised from the dead. All of those stories are powerful. But here's the third ingredient to get a miracle. Receive it from the Holy Spirit. God the Father wills it. Jesus Christ the Son died for it. And the Holy Spirit wills to bring it to you. Romans 8:15. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken your mortal body. That same Spirit is here. Now you get born again. Ephesians 1. I'm giving all this real quickly. Ephesians 1:12-14. That's when the Spirit comes in you. He comes in you. And as a Baptist boy, that happened to me. And then I had some charismatic people that just were ignorant. They hadn't sat under the Word. And they came to me and they said, you don't have Holy Spirit. Well, I was a Baptist. I knew the Word of God. Romans 8:9 says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. Hello? Yeah. So see, you can do a lot of damage if you don't know the Word.
Right.
And you don't know how to rightly divide the Word. Because I looked at them like, you fruitcakes, you don't know what you're talking. Yeah, you know, ding-a-ling, you know what it's talking about. But then I realized, then I came to understand that it's not the Holy Spirit just coming in you, it's Holy Spirit coming upon you.
Right.
And He endues you and clothes you with supernatural power. And it's accompanied with speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance, and it's received by faith.
Amen.
Now I close with this. I want you to get your miracle today, and I want you to receive it. Someone says, well, do you have to speak in tongues to go to heaven? No. No. Someone says, I don't understand miracles. Sweetheart, there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand how green cow eats, or brown cow eats green grass and gives forth yellow butter and white milk, but I enjoy it. I don't understand how electricity works. Now, if you're smart as my good pastor friend here, Easy, you probably do, because he knows all things. Our angel back there, she has the mind of Christ. And but my mental kilowatts can't wrap around. All I can figure out is flip the switch on. Thank God. And I know there's some kind of generator. I know it conducts through something and water, and somehow somebody put some wires up here. And I can't understand how water going through wires. But I wouldn't it be absurd for us to sit here all afternoon in the dark until we can figure out how it works?
Right.
Hello?
Right.
Thank God somebody flipped on the switch. Little baby comes forth out of the womb of the mother, instantly knows how to get lunch from the lunch bucket. Nobody, not even the doctor, gives it instruction. If you wait till your little feeble carnal mind can figure out something, you're going to miss God.
Yes.
And then religion always paints this bad picture of God. Religion tells you that God's putting something on you to make you a better person. Those are demon-inspired words.
Right, right.
I said those are demon-inspired words.
Yes.
Our daughter, Angel, she was born mentally retarded because Dina slipped and fell, landed on her stomach, damaged the frontal lobal portion of Angel's mind. When we pastored Stafford, some of you are sitting here, you remember God sent this beautiful little lady. She's in heaven right now. Her name is Miss Headley. Miss Headley came and said, "Brother Gary, I can teach Angel to read." And I was real young, man. I'm 67 years old now. I was real young back then. Forgive me if I offended anybody or said anything back in those days. But I was just learning. I was just learning and just walking it out. But I said, "Miss Headley, do you really believe that?" She said, "Oh, sure I do." She said, "They don't want to mess with her." She said, "I'll teach her to read." First thing she does is she leads her in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Angel learned to read from reading the Bible. My doctorate degree's in history. And that's how our forefathers learned to read. Your forefathers, my forefathers, learned to read with an authorized book from Congress, ABC, that was from the Bible. I've seen the book myself. First copy edition. And Angel began to pray in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost began to teach her. Dean and I get called to school over here in Stafford. "Mr. and Ms. Wood, we want to have a conference with you concerning your daughter and her progress. We want to talk to you about something." I said, "Yes." They said, "Well, your daughter speaks in a very strange language." I said, "She does?" They said, "Yes, we know Spanish, French, German, but we don't know the language your daughter speaks in." I said, "Well, what happens when she speaks this language?" They said, "Well, that's why we called you for this time to talk to you about." She closes her eyes. Sometimes she'll lift her hands up like this. And I said, "Yes, yes, I'm having fun." I said, "Yes, yes, what happens?" They said, "Well, she'll open her eyes and she has the answers to the questions after she speaks in that language." Duh. Don't even have to have a doctorate degree to figure that one out. While I was earning my doctorate, Angel said, "Daddy, can I work with you?" I said, "Well, of course you can, baby." And so we studied together, and she has a Master of Divinity degree.
Wow.
Hallelujah. From someone that the world says is mentally retarded. Why, Angel? Why? What's your favorite verse? Scream it out. There it is. Lift your hands up. Say, "I can do all things. I can do all things." And I close. Dr. Carl Peterson, former professor at Tulsa, Oklahoma, Oral Roberts University, a brain specialist, said there's research that has proven some amazing things. He verified there's an activity that begins in the brain. And he says, as we engage in our heavenly language, the brain releases two chemical secretions that are directed into our immune system, giving a 35 to 40% boost in the immune system. This promotes healing within our bodies. Amazingly, this secretion is triggered triggered from a part of the brain that has no other apparent activity in humans. We don't use it for any other purpose. It's only activated by our spirit-led praying in tongues and worship. Therefore, he concludes, we need to pray in our prayer language more than ever before. Amen. I concur. I agree. Amen. Glory to God. You've come here. You're hungry. You came with expectation. The healer is here to meet you. It's your time. It's your season. It's the season of miracles. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, take this simple little message, impact it into our lives. Let us begin from this day forth to supernaturally anticipate a moving of the Holy Spirit to bring forth miracles in every area of our lives, spiritually, physically, financially. For we know that there will come that time. There will come that moment. There will come that hour when we'll need supernatural, divine intervention. And your word clearly teaches it's your will. It's always your will to heal. It's always your will to give us a miracle. It's your will, Father, for us to be prosperous, even as our soul prospers. So I pray, Father, for first and foremost, a hunger and a yearning to know the Word of God that's going to lead us beyond the frivolity of what the world will offer. We'll turn from the world, the flesh, and the devil. We'll set our eyes upon you and upon our eternal rewards. And we're looking to you as the author and finisher of our faith. And we praise you and thank you for the gifts that you poured out to each of us individually, that all corporately bring together a unified body. And let us be in unity. Let us operate in unity and one accord so that miracles can happen on a regular basis. And the world will stand in awe and amazement. Even as Moses stood and looked at that burning bush, and the bush wasn't consumed, but it was aglow with the power of God. And they'll look at us and they'll see that glory resident from us. And they'll want what we have. And we'll be transmitters of it unto them in Jesus' mighty name.